What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Somebody who's done tremendous work over the years on this telethon, Lou Merlone. We're going to demote you to the number two celebrity in Framingham after Craig.
Yeah.
But you've spent a lot of time doing these telethons over the years, raising awareness, raising money. What's the experience been like looking back?
Well, you know, first off, you grow up here, so you knew all about it. And then I got to be able to live it as a player, you know, and visit the clinic and be part of that. And then after, I think 2009, Glenn Ordway brought me in here for the first time. You know, and then ever since. I remember because about 3 months later, my son was born. And I would say the next 2, 3, 4 years, you guys know, you have young ones, it changed.
It does, yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
You know, and you come in here and it's hard, right? You meet the patients, you see the families, you talk to the doctors, you hear what they have to say about it. And you start feeling like you're putting things in perspective. But at the same point, you realize what you're doing, you know, and I did it for, what, 15 years, I think, of these telethons and the money that's raised. The stories early on, there was a lot of sad stories. You know, you're interviewing these families going, what are you going to do? And I would say the last 5 years or so, it was doctors were saying, you know, 5, 6 years ago, there was no help. You know, and now because of telethons like this, the money that is raised, they're better endings. And I think I could just see it just in that time. I know, Keith, you've only been doing a little, you know, not as much. I mean, how many years have you been doing?
17 was the first one, 2017.
Yeah.
And like you said, each year is getting a little bit better. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
It's definitely gotten better. You also get to see, both as a player, but then now also just being around the team.
Yeah.
Seeing the players interact with the kids is one of the cool things. Some of the players just really take to the kids. Go over there, plenty of like unannounced visits, you know, not trying to be publicized visits, but that's a real special relationship that a lot of the players have.
And they understand that. You know, when they come in, obviously some embrace it. You know, maybe more guys like Brock Holt, what Garrett Whitlock does. I mean, it doesn't really surprise you when you get to know some of the people that get really involved because they're just good humans, you know. But I think they all enjoy it. I think these 2 days here, kind of before the game, they understand that they're coming up here. They're going to be talking to the media, talking on the telethon, and I think they accept it. They're excited for it. Because anytime, even in spring training, when the kids come down, like, it is awesome. Like, some of the players, that's their first introduction to it. And they talk about it for days, like meeting these kids down there and what it means to them, putting a smile on their face.
So I'm trying to remember now. We talked to, at the top of the 11 o'clock hours, Carolyn was on that trip, put on by the Jimmy Fund, you know, funds from this, and we just updated the tote board. $3,753,057
right.
Has been updated. So again, please continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. But yeah, that's one of the many places where that money goes. And I know, you know, for the ball players, the day off can be kind of a sacred thing, right? And something where, hey, we want to, it's a grueling season, it's a grind, and you get some time off. Maybe it's not always front of mind to go over there and do that, but a lot of these players decide to take their time to do that.
They do. And, you know, even when I was playing sometimes, because it can be hard out there. You know what I mean? Like, guys are in, they're in it for 2 or 3 weeks. They can't find a way out of it. You know, you've got a family at home, but really this is like the focus and this is your world and everything sort of evolves around how you perform. And then you take a visit and it just can change a lot of, you know, your perspective on like, man, I'm worried because, you know, I'm one for my last 20, you know, and you see what some of these families are going through. I was always amazed at the kids that came walking through here that are battling cancer and have for years, the strength that they have.
Oh, they have a better attitude than, like, all of us. Like, yeah, not even close.
You just sit there and you're like, you know, what kind of life is this person going to live when early on in their lives they faced this challenge, they met it head on, and they've taken this attitude towards it like there's nothing stopping them, you know? And it's just that always amazed me, the kids.
All right, as for the team on the field, Lou, how are you feeling about it? There's been a couple of tricky bullpen situations here over the last – that's one way of putting it – over the last few days, whether guys are available, unavailable – the number of guys that you're confident in a big spot is sort of dwindling.
Yeah.
Overall thought on the specifically the bullpen right now.
The bullpen is leaking. I think that's how I would I would say. And you know, the high leverage guys like Witt has been great. You know, he throws a game, maybe he needs a day. They're still kind of dealing with, he did have surgery last year, but you'd love to have three or four guys at the back end, you know, that you could use to set up Chapman. But when it's only one or two and they get used all the time, you know, like Weissert was fantastic. Right now he's just sort of fighting it, right? Trying to find it even though he's been okay. You know, so it's like you're trying to find those guys at the high leverage spot, and that's why Slayton's going to be so important if they can get him back in a week. But I don't know, do you expect him to be lights out right away?
Probably not. Yeah.
It's that back half of the bullpen that's caused some issues, right? Like last night, you keep that thing 2-0, maybe you walk it off. Or you're up 8-1, there's no need to bring in Whitlock and Chapman into those games. And that's happened a few times. So there are some guys, I know Bernardino's back up. There are some guys down in AAA that I've talked to people that are there all the time that think they can truly help. Like the kid Tolley's fastball is like in play. Doesn't matter, lefty, righty, it doesn't really matter.
That's the Piglet, right? You've dubbed him the Piglet?
The little Piglet.
Yeah, Piglet would be a good
point.
I do
love the pig and the Piglet. That's great.
Piglet work.
Those little Piglet. The one that fascinates me is Richard Fitz. Like, it's been a wild year for him. Kind of like hurt or not hurt, suspended games, one inning, sent back down. Like, to me, this is like this time of year, you got depth down there at Criswell and Harrison. Like, Fitz, like, what is he like for an inning or two, throwing 98, 99? Like, and this is the time of year I think you start thinking about it.
So I think we have all wrapped our heads around the way they handled Chapman or didn't use him on Sunday. I think we all get.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Edit. Do you like it? I mean, do you like that that's where baseball's now at, where you can't go on a third day? Do you think that's a positive advancement, or is that something you look back and say, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, he's going to throw on a third day if the team needs him?
Yeah, I think with him, 37 years old, you know, and he's having a career year. And I think one of the reasons why may be because they haven't used him on 3 days rest, that he hasn't gone an inning and a third, inning and two-thirds, two innings. You know, I think the idea is, I understand you got to get there, right? And Sunday's game was a big game. They're all big games from now on. You got to get there. But when you get there, and if you don't have him, what are we doing? You know, so it's like, it's 35 games left. It's still a lot. And I would say, like, the last week or two of the season, in the postseason, you know, you take the chains off of everybody. And we saw that in the postseason before with how he uses some pitchers. Guys are just out there throwing every day. Nobody has an off day. But in order to be able to do that, I think you still have to kind of be careful. The bottom line is like someone else other than Chapman has to go out there and throw the ball and get outs, right? Like, it's 8-man bullpen. Guys have to do their job, you know, and Whitlock's done a nice job of it. Wilson, Matz has done a nice job, and he just gave up a 2-run homer the other day. So it's just, it's one of those things, but you can't overuse them now. I still think it's too early, even though as important as all these games are.
You more worried about seeding for where they are, or do you think they could fall out of it? Like, do you look at Cleveland as a team that's going to snipe one of these spots, or do you think it's just sort of reordering the three?
I actually, it's funny because I think it was Texas beat Toronto the other day, and I wasn't rooting for that. Like, I want Cleveland, Kansas City, and Texas to go away.
Yeah, you know
what I mean?
Yeah.
And you want the number one seed.
Yeah, right. I think they're such a good home team.
Wild card here, three games, is going to be tough to beat. I also think you're just at the point you got to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's step one. Like, I've always said, I feel like you're in phase 2016, you know, where you went and got Price and Kimbrel, and you made the playoffs, and you didn't do well.
Right.
And then the next year, you got somebody to go with Price. You know, like this offseason, maybe get somebody to go with Crochet. And then it still took J.D. Martinez, you know, to kind of get the offense going, and it still took Nate Eovaldi. So it's like a little build, but I want them to get there because I want these young kids to feel it. If it's on the road, so be it. You just want to get in. That's why I'm rooting for those other teams to go away.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the other teams to go away. Is there a team? Yeah, Keith is a big believer in this, and we've seen it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you just get in, you have a good chance to go to a World Series, maybe win a World Series. Is there a team in the American League you look at and it is head and shoulders better than the Red Sox when they get there, or is it a pretty level field once you make that postseason?
I think Seattle's the best team in the American League. Like, and honestly, in my own mind, I don't know where they're going to end up in the final standings. I don't think it's close, you know, because I think, you know, Brian Wu can match up with just about anybody.
Yeah, they already had the pitching, and then
they went out and got that with two or three other guys.
Yeah.
And then they come, you know, now all of a sudden it's Suarez and Naylor. I just feel like that is – they finally become what you've been ripping them for not becoming. You know, like you went out and got some offense, you know, because you got Skubal, you got Crochet – you know, you've got these guys, this veterans up in Toronto, but I feel like Toronto can match 1-2-3, you know, can match a 1 and can kind of 2-3 dominate there too. So they're a team I worry about, but I actually worry about Texas.
Yeah, if they got
and they just can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, no, they don't. They can't get out of their own way.
No, so I don't know what's going on there.
This is more of a question, I guess, probably for next year. But like, how do you like the logjam in the outfield? Sort of the role of Seydon Rafaela, and even I guess for this year, like, do you want to see him more in center field because of how dynamic he is in center field, or because of need, you got him at second base?
I think they want him in center every day.
Yeah, but
the Marcelo injury really impacted a lot, and it might have impacted the trade deadline. You know, because there was no jam anymore, and there was no need to trade anybody anymore. You know, they want him in center. It's just that right now, I think Romy Gonzalez is a guy that, like, I think if you play him every day, you're going to find him on the IL. You know, I think you got to pick your spots with him and keep doing what you're doing with him. And I think other than that, he's your best option. So it's not perfect. It's because of injury.
Yeah.
I think he's your center fielder for a long time, like moving forward.
Does Meyer concern you at all?
Yeah.
Just because every year it seems like it gets shut down with something, you know. And some guys in all sports just have that, like, buzzard's luck, and they're just, like, always hurt. And it just seems like, unfortunately, it's another year where he goes down.
It does, because it's hurt his, like, kind of climb.
Yeah.
You know, even though we got here this year with everybody else, but it was like when everybody else finally got the AAA last year and were, like, competing and playing at high levels, well, like, he was hurt.
He's missed so many at-bats
and,
you know, just development time in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and you know, you see guys from, like, well, this guy was in Meyer's class. He's already in the big leagues. Why isn't Marcelo? Well, that guy played 130 games for 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill. I mean, that's like, the big example.
For years in a row, and you're playing 75, you're just missing those ABs at the next level. So for him, there's a little bit of a concern. I mean, it's kind of fluky things, but – this is one of the things with prospects. Either they could come up and not be good. They could be injury prone. You know, it's just a lot of different things. He's obviously shown what he can do.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just kind of trying to see if we can keep him healthy.
All right. Lou Maloney, thanks for helping out last night, today, these last 15 years, all the help over the years. We appreciate it.
What do we got, 4.9? That's the goal.
That's the number we're circling.
That's the one we're chasing.
We're all around it.
And thank you to you guys, because I know this is very, very important. You guys are fantastic. Great
thank
job
you.
Today.
Thank Outstanding. You very much.
Continue to donate toll-free, 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. We're going to check in with Lucas Giolito of the Red Sox as we wrap things up here on Jones and Keefe. Day two of the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by our Bella Insurance, rolls on next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.